able to brave the snow and make your way here. And I don't know how much you got at your house. And that's something that we have to be used to around here. Whatever it is they forecast, it's just a guess. So don't get so caught up in it, you know. So that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Again, you just be thankful you're not living somewhere else. And but I want to direct you to one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In fact, there's two verses we'll look at this morning. The first one here in Isaiah. During the week as I was away and 84 degrees where I was, and sunny, and it was nice, it was hot, I'll tell you, it was hot, I enjoyed it. But looking at the forecast, knowing what was projected to come, I began to pray and study about what to preach this morning, so sure enough, this is one of my favorite verses, another one we'll share in just a moment, when it comes to snow. I just love this. And I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you today. Stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 1. And just the only verse we'll read is verse 18. Isaiah writes, as God has given him the words on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The title of my message this morning is, "Let It Snow." Let it snow. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for these precious folks. So good to be back home and to enjoy the fellowship and to enjoy the worship. I pray, Lord, in these few moments we have together, I know many of our folks are not able to be here today. We trust that they're safe. We trust that they're warm. We pray especially for healing for those who need a touch from you today. Pray for comfort, those of our church family. And Lord, I pray that in these few moments we have together that around the Word of God, that you'll give us encouragement, blessings. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us this week. We want to thank you for keeping us safe in the storm that came. We know that storms like this could be much worse. We know that conditions could be much worse. But we thank you, Lord, that the power is still on. We thank you that the roads are clear. We thank you that we can be safe and warm. And we pray, Lord, that the warmth of your Holy Spirit will just speak to us today. Draw us close to you. And as we look around the beauty of your creation this morning, we just be reminded of a great truth that you've left for us in your word. That'd be a blessing and help to us today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It does seem strange that in this passage of Scripture that we find that God invites people to come to him. We find many invitations in the Word of God, and we'll not take time to list them and look at them this morning, but just this one, of God inviting people to come to him. He says in verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together." Warren Wiersbe writes that the word reason in verse 18 means a phrase that means to decide a case in court. So instead of pronouncing judgment, it is here that the great judge, God the Father, is offering not judgment but pardon. He is not offering a sentence, but he's offering forgiveness. And if they, in verses 16 and 17, would just come and cleanse themselves and repent of their sins, God says in verse 18 that he would wipe the record clean, as if a case in court had been settled and everything would be cleansed. God wants you to come to him this morning. God doesn't do things to drive you away. God does things to bring you to Him. He's not interested in separating Himself from you. He's interested in bringing you to Him. And in this wonderful verse, as the prophet Isaiah begins his ministry and messages to the nation, God's chosen people, he wants them to know that God is not bringing judgment to drive you away. God is not allowing these circumstances in your life to cause you to leave church, quit reading your Bible, quit fellowshipping with believers, quit tithing, quit doing all those things you know you're supposed to be doing. But instead, God is using circumstances in your life to cause you to come to Him. He issues the great invitation for you to come to Him. Now, in this, we find a great truth. That in the invitation for us to come, He tells us something about our sins. It is sin that separates us this morning. It is the sin that makes it impossible for us to have fellowship with God except through an advocate, except through a Savior. And so, in spite of their sins, God says, come. Come to me. Let us reason together. Let us settle this in a court, in the divine court, and let's take care of this. And it is here in the last part of this verse that we find such a beautiful, great truth that every time we have what we've had yesterday and see today out in our yards and roads, and when we see the snow, I am reminded of the beautiful, wonderful, great promise that God has given us. Now, you understand that I'm like a lot of you, growing up in the Carolinas of South and North Carolina, snow was always a major event, no matter how little ended up on the ground. Growing up, I remember two major snowfalls in my life as a kid. Just two. It snowed more than that, I'm sure, but there were only two that really stuck out in my mind. One happened about the time I was in the first grade, and we lived in a little house in Seneca. It snowed so much that my baby sister, which was only about a year old at the time, the youngest, I remember Dad taking us out into the snow, into the backyard, and we're walking around in this beautiful winter wonderland. And I remember Dad putting Renee down in the snow. And then we didn't see Renee anymore. As a one-year-old toddler, it had snowed enough to where it was higher than she was tall as a one-year-old. I'll never forget that. And then the other snow happened when we were living in the great state of North Carolina. In the eighth grade, we had one of the largest snowfalls ever seen. To this day, I've never seen one any larger than that. I mean, it snowed. It was 13 inches in our yard and in our church parking lot. 13 inches. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, it was just awesome. We didn't go to school for a week. We didn't do anything. I mean, we still had power and all those wonderful things. And we just, living next to the church, we had the unique opportunity of playing in the snow in the church cemetery. Oh, that was fun. You ever throw snowballs in a church cemetery? You got lots of things to hide behind in a church cemetery. The tombstones, they make great shields for you. And we had a tremendous time that week. It stayed cold and the snow stayed on the ground, and it was wonderful. Now, that's why you northerners have to be a little patient with us southerners just a little bit. We're not used to this. It doesn't happen all the time. And I know that y'all make fun of us when we get the forecast of snow. That's okay. You can make fun of us about this. We got a lot of things to make fun of y'all about too. We can make fun of northerners too. And if you really want to know the truth, there's a lot more things you can make fun of us about. You know, not just the way we handle snow. So it's okay if it bothers you too much the way we crowd the grocery stores, if it bothers you too much the way we handle and over you know, get zealous about the snow. I'm not sure any of you are wanting to go back to where you are, where you came from in the snow. So, you know, just put up with us just a little while. We welcome you making fun of us. We don't mind it at all. We laugh along. We laugh at ourselves. The milk and bread thing, I've never understood. The only thing I could figure out is if the power goes off, at least you've got sandwiches. You can make sandwiches. And the milk thing, if the power goes out, you can set the milk outside and it'll still stay cold enough. You could pour it over to your Cheerios. Other than that, I don't know what that is about. But in any case, when I see snow, when I see the forecast of snow, and as I sat yesterday morning in my house and watched what little did fall to the ground around here, I was reminded about this great truth that God gives us, and I want to leave it with you this morning. And so the next time you have snow, and you see snow, and you're in snow, if you're in it where you can enjoy it, maybe you could be reminded of what God tells us here in His Word. Now, I'm not giving you an outline of 1, 2, 3 this morning. Your outline is the word snow. I'm going to give you an acrostic to help you remember this great truth this morning, what God says in His Word. We're going to look at this verse. We're going to show you one more before I close. But what is it that God wants us to know this morning? What is it about His relationship with us, His invitation to us, and that the snow reminds us about that? Well, letter S, we start with our sin. We have to understand that it is because of sin that God had to send a Redeemer. We just celebrated Christmas. We talked about all the things, what Christmas is about. And it is about Jesus coming to pay for our sin. When I see snow, I'm reminded that it was because of my sin that Jesus had to come and die. It's because of my sin and your sin that we had to have a Savior. He tells us that even though our sins be as scarlet, He says later, though they be red like crimson. And I know we tend to take and talk about sin being black and then being cleansed from sin is white. But in reality, the Scripture tells us that our sins are scarlet. They're red like crimson. And why is that? Well, I'm going to show you in just a minute. So when we see the snow, we're reminded that there's something about our sin. But there's something you need to know about snow. Scientists and others who have studied this tell us that there is no way to believe the fact that this is going to shock you. But do you realize that there are no two snowflakes exactly alike? Now, I don't know who came up with it. I don't know who studied that. I know when I see snowflakes, I see big snowflakes. But those who have studied snowflakes and studied the design of snow tell us that just like your fingerprints are a unique identification of you, God created the snow and to the point that there are no two snowflakes exactly alike. Now, you folks who lived in upstate New York, that's hard to imagine. Us around here, we don't get it as much. But just think about the uniqueness of that. No two are alike. And yet the snow reminds us that our sin is what separates us from God. But the letter N gives us the word that He gives us here in verse 18. Notice He says, now. Now. You know, you can have a relationship with God now. There's nothing you have to do as far as works, as far as earning, as far as doing anything to cause you to be in a situation where God would accept you other than just simply accepting him by faith. He says, now. You can come to God now. There are those who want to falsely teach that you have to do something in order for God to accept you. There's something you got to clean up your outside. You got to quit doing this. You got to start doing this. You got to keep a list of do's and don'ts. And if you do that, then God would accept you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that come now, saith the Lord. That means now. That means not tomorrow. That's why he said today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So whatever reason you're using to put it off to come to God, maybe you think, well, I'll reform myself. I'll do better. I will quit some habit. I'll quit some sin. I'll get myself in order before I come to God. That's not how God works. God says, come now. Because of our sin, God invites us to come now to Him, and that's where we come to the letter O. Because God, because of what He's done, the snow reminds us, the letter O, that He has overcome all of our sin. He has overcome all of our sin. Notice He says that though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson. You know, the color red, the color scarlet in those days were very difficult colors in order to make. If you were trying to dye wool, if you were trying to put print or do ink of any kind, red is the most difficult color. And once it becomes red, once you get it to red, it's hard to cover up the red. Red is the most difficult color to cover up. If you try to cover it with any color, it just kind of fades into it. I remember when I was in the printing business in college at Tennessee Temple, I worked at the university print shop. I remember that the ink that we would use, the red ink, was kept in a separate place. There were two reasons for that. One, we didn't want it to get mixed up with anything else. Two, it was the most expensive. And any time that red was used to print flyers or bulletins or covers or anything we were printing red, it became very expensive. We didn't want to waste it because of the cost that was involved. And any time we had to use red on our printing presses, it took extra time to clean those presses, to clean those rollers. I remember one time, didn't get it exactly all the way clean. And I remember running a print job the next day, and I kept seeing something that wasn't right. And my supervisor came by and asked for help, and he looked, and we figured out that the rollers did not get cleaned the day before from the person who had run the job with the red ink. So here I was stuck with a job that I could not send out, so I had to redo, I had to re-clean, I had to redo the job because someone didn't clean the red, and it was very difficult. It was very costly. Now, there's a reason Jesus came to die for our sins. It's because we could not pay for our sins any other way. And there's a reason that sin is referred to as scarlet and referred to as red. It's because there is nothing else that can cover it except by a divine work of God. Your heart of sin this morning is not a black heart. It's a red heart. It's a scarlet heart. It's a sinful heart that is filled with sin. But the snow reminds us that God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love overcomes all of the red and all of the crimson and all of the sin. Nothing you could do on your own can do that. That brings me to the W. And as we conclude this morning, let it snow. It reminds us of our sin. God's invitation is now. And what God has done for us can overcome all of our sin. And you guessed it. The W reminds us that once God has come into our lives, everything is white. It's all white. Snow is perfectly white. Now, if you happen to live in some areas, now, I know some areas of our country, if you live around steel mills or paper mills, if you live around inner city areas, by the time the snow hits the ground, it gets mixed up with other things, right? And it can get dirty. And after snow piles up 6, 8, 10 feet, and they use bulldozers to bulldoze it out of the street, it's not fun anymore. It's not pretty anymore, is it? It's mixed up with stuff. But wait a minute. Have you ever been up away from all of civilization, up in the mountains, maybe out west, and seen some of just the purest snow you've ever seen? I know my dad was on a trip one time in the middle of June down in Yellowstone National Park, and it snowed in the middle of June. He said it was the prettiest snow he'd ever seen. It's the whitest snow he'd ever seen. There's no cities. There's no pollution. There's no textile mills or steel mills or anything else around to mess up the air. It was just pure, clean air and pure, clean snow. Snow is white. One time I remember being in the mountains of North Carolina, and we were up in the Great Smoky Mountains, and it was snowing. And it wasn't one of these heavy snows, but just enough to where you could just enjoy it. We'd stop by, and where we were, there was a little mountain stream running down. That was the coldest water I've ever put my feet in. I've never felt colder water than that. It was cold. And that snow mixed with that mountain stream was just the most beautiful thing. And I'm reminded that this verse tells us that when God intervenes into our lives and when we trust Him by faith, when we come to Him, He takes the red and the crimson of our lives. He takes the sin and He turns it to a color that no man can turn it to. Remember what I said about the red and the crimson and how hard it is to cover it up. But it's no problem for God to turn red into white. It's not a problem to take your sin and turn it into a white, clean, pure life. When that snow was coming down, I don't know where you were watching it out your window or watching it out of vehicle or wherever you might have been, but there's just something about the beauty of it coming down. I've always said I love to watch it snow, and I love to watch it leave. Here in the South, we're just not accustomed to getting around in it. We don't mind it 6 or 8 inches on the grass. We just don't want 6 or 8 inches in the driveway and in the parking lots and the steps. We don't want it freezing over. It's no fun anymore when it does that. But when that pure white snow, I remember the first time I ever had snow ice cream. Mom had put a bowl out in the yard on the porch and just caught it as it came down. It was one of those big snows. Put a little milk, a little sugar, freezer. And you talk about, now listen, Breyers has never made anything as good as that. I don't know how she did it. I don't know what she did. A little vanilla in it. And I can't have ice cream unless it's got either chocolate or strawberries to go with it. Amen? But he tells us here that God can take what's red in your life. God can take what's scarlet in your life and crimson. And He can turn it white as snow. When I look at the snow, I think about what God has done for me in my life. I didn't understand it completely at the age of 9 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I didn't understand what all it was about. But I know that when I look at that snow last night, when I look at a beautiful scenery of snow, and I've got a picture of our church I took from the house across the street, from the parsonage, one snowstorm. This was not this one yesterday, but one before. And looking toward our church, and you see the snow covering the ground. You can barely see a little path where some folks have gotten out on the highway. But you see the snow. And when you look at a scenery of snow, I want to remind you of something this morning. When you're watching snow and you see the whiteness, that's how God looks at your life and looks at your heart when you've come to Him by faith. He looks at you like you're looking at that snow. It's clean. It's white. It's pure. And when you trust Him by faith and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, He takes the scarlet, the crimson, the red, and He covers it with the white. And it's covered and it turns white as snow. Man can't do that. Only God can do that. There's a passage of Scripture that I think is a beautiful reminder. And I told you I had one more verse I wanted you to see. And it's Psalm 51, verse 7. It is the basis for one of the hymns that we have in our hymn book. Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance. David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, had been confronted with Nathan the prophet, he confesses his sin to God and asks God to cleanse him and wash him. And he says in verse 7 of Psalm 51, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." Now notice this, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. When we come to God and confess our sins by faith, He washes us whiter than snow? How can you get whiter than snow? Snow is perfectly white. It's almost as if you try to catch it in your hand as it's falling down, it usually just those snowflakes will melt in your hand, in the warmth of your hand. But David says that when God washes you clean, He washes you whiter than snow. James Nicholson was so moved by the meaning of Psalm 51 that he sat down and with an open Bible and a paper and a pen, he wrote these words, "Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want You forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from Your throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at Your crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see Your blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, before You I patiently wait. Come now, and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought You, You never said no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And of course, it's very simple. Whiter than snow? Yes, whiter than snow. "Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The great miracle that God has given to each one of His children this morning is that your life by faith, once we confess our sins, no longer is covered in red and crimson, but it is now whiter, whiter, whiter than snow. I don't know if you'll ever look at snow the same again, but from these two verses of the Word of God, I hope that when you see snow, your first thought is not bread and milk. But I hope that you will instead say, "Thank You, Lord. Thank You for making my life whiter than snow." If that's not the case for you this morning, it can be. You can accept His invitation where He says, "Come now and let us reason. Let's settle this today. And I will make you whiter than snow." Would you bow with us in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. As Jeannie and Vicki comes to prepare to lead us an invitation. Snow. Wow, it's so beautiful. It is such a reminder of what God has done for us. Our sin has now been overcome, and we're whiter than any snow. If you're here, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. invite you to do so today. As a Christian, maybe you've allowed the things of this life and the things of the world, maybe some habits to dictate your life in some way. And maybe you just need to be reminded how God looks at you. He sees snow. When we come to Him in forgiveness, He sees snow. And if God sees that, you should see it as well. Let God cleanse you this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful snow you've sent our way today. Pray that in this moment, in this hour, whatever decision we need to make to be right with you, I pray we would do it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. And would you stand with us?